Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland, and behind me is Pandemonium, the headquarters of easily the most evil organisation in the United Kingdom, the Royal College of Gynaecologists and Obstetricians. Of course, providing medical care to women about ailments that are specific to females is a very noble endeavour, and a lot of what they do is very laudable work, is saving people's lives, and is, improving quality of life, reducing suffering, and all that is entirely praiseworthy. Obstetricians obviously assisting at births, not your ordinary birth, but when it's particularly difficult, the midwives or the ordinary doctors can't cope. But that's not what I'm talking, that's not what I'm criticising them here for. What I'm criticising them for here is the mass murder of children, of girls and boys. And this is a sector of the medical profession grown fat, drinking the blood of children, metaphorically speaking. So here they are, in their cosy offices, their dining rooms, their gala dinners, with a lot of congratulation going on, with all their professional titles, some of them professors, many of them consultants, with their big salaries and their very generous pensions, often paid by the taxpayer, paid involuntarily, even by people on minimum wage, even people who abhor the monstrous crimes they commit against girls and boys every single day. Even a father would find himself indirectly paying for the murder of his daughter or son. And these are the people who do it, who are so sanctimonious about it, who are so self-righteous about ripping the legs off and ripping the arms off and ripping the head off a child, about breaking the spine of a little girl or boy, about injecting a child's heart with a fatal substance to cause cardiac arrest, about the infliction of hypoxia on girls and boys. So that is depriving the children of oxygen until the point of death. And then they have the nerve to say that this is medical care. It's absolutely sick. If that's not evil, nothing is evil. You cannot possibly get more satanic than that. And they have everyone on their side. They've got the great majority of politicians, the civil service, the judiciary, the police, the army, the navy, the air force. Because, of course, the armed forces, they commit these murders against the children of soldiers, sailors, air women, and so forth. So it really is revolting, and most of the media on their side is absolutely despicable and disgusting that these monstrous crimes should be committed so shamelessly. And obviously, to add insult to injury, we have to pick up the tab for it. I mean, even if we didn't have to pay a penny towards it, I would still be obviously totally against on principle, because children are humans too, aren't they? And they use completely specious and illogical arguments filled with non sequiturs, a farrago of inconsistencies and hypocrisies, to mask what they're really doing, and couching all in euphemistic language. Girls, these boys, they're zygotes, they're embryos, they're fetuses. Yes, they are. That's simply a stage in a human's development. And they're saying, well, that murder is acceptable or even good if your victim is weak, if your victim is small. So it is sickening that they should do this. And intelligent and wise people can have a moral blind spot on this one. It's like people can suspend rationality in certain areas. So they've chosen to close off their ratiocinative faculties on this one issue, and most people have, I suppose, because the existential crisis of facing up to what they've been doing for decades is the most horrific crime of all, is that the willful murder of innocent children can't get away. You think of the power imbalance between these people, these highly educated adults, with their murder weapons, with their deadly poisons and so on, with their high professional status, with their big salaries, against a little girl or boy who's got no idea what's going on. And they say it's all about choice. Well, it's never the victim's choice, is it? Yes, there is a choice involved, but not all options are permissible. Rape is a choice, not the victim's choice. Enslavement is a choice, not the victim's choice. Kidnapping is a choice. Torture is a choice. So every crime of violence, every act of abuse or exploitation is a choice. That is true. But no right-minded person, no remotely decent person, would ever say that these options ought to be allowed. Of course not. They must be criminalised, and they deserve to be severely punished. So some of the mothers, I think we often let them off too easily. And the fathers shouldn't be left off the hook. I mean, some fathers obviously have no idea this is happening, never even knew that he was a father in some cases, that his daughter or son was in utero. Some of the fathers, you know, try to save their child but don't. And legally, there's nothing they can do. They don't even have a right to be informed, to opine. So I think not many of the mothers are that dim to not look at what's going on, or actually duped by the propaganda. People say they're secondary victims, but that lets them off the hook. And they shouldn't do that. They bear responsibility for these ghastly crimes, the ultimate crime, the murder of one's own child is an absolute profanation of motherhood. Your simple syllogisms, you can show that that abortion is murder, is utterly morally repugnant. I'm not a moralistic person. I don't care if you drink or smoke or gamble or whatever, but I do care if you commit murder. And it's no defense to say that this was my own child. I mean, someone with human DNA is a human being. Is it he or she? Right. And someone with the signs of life is alive. Is it he or she? So therefore, a zygote, even a zygote is respiring, so a human zygote is a living human being. I know it's more difficult with embryos you can freeze for years, because some of the signs of life stop, and you can freeze these babies for up to, I think it's 30 years. Put the child, the embryo, into a womb, and he or she will be born to that mother, even though this mother is usually not the one who provided the egg and so forth. But the fact that one can take the embryo out of the mother, and the embryo can then develop in another one mother, she's the mother of that said surrogate, I suppose, underscores yet again that this child is a completely separate person from the mother. We're talking about the surrogate mother or the mother whose egg was provided and so on. So it begs the question, what gives moral value to a zygote? Because I remember that Charlie Kirk debate, what gives moral worth, the undergraduate asked, to human DNA? Well, I don't think that dandruff does, but we'd even have rules about collecting and retaining people's DNA because there is a moral aspect to doing that. It's the possibility to bring happiness to others, and really that DNA belongs to that person. And so a zygote is a human being, even though they're very, very small, even though they're microscopic, even though they're a single cell. It doesn't matter if you're one cell of 37 trillion cells, you are still a human being. This is not a matter of size, okay? It would be as preposterous to say above a certain height, one is no longer a human being. So you've got to ask if this is universalizable. If what's done to a distinct class of people were done to everyone, would you find that permissible? You wouldn't. If it's acceptable to do this to people up at the age of 7, or 27, or 77, would we allow it? No, we certainly wouldn't. So there's no reason to do it to the smallest, most innocent, most defenseless of people. It behoves us to protect them. So make no mistake, this is murder most foul. Just because it's committed on an industrial scale doesn't make it any more acceptable. So unfortunately, it's been normalized, it's been minimized, it's been sanitized. And then people have to overcome their cognitive dissonance is to realize the people whom they've loved have committed the most unspeakable crime. And obviously they should be named and shamed, and they must pay a price for that. These people deserve life imprisonment without possibility of parole in the strictest possible circumstances. Now, that would present some practical difficulties, because then almost every gynecologist or obstetrician, in fact most of the medical profession, have indirectly or directly committed murder, including signing the death warrants. So what would we do without them? I suppose we could have them working whilst in prison. We certainly used to allow that into the early 19th century. And those who've committed these murders, whether the mothers or the fathers, if you can prove the fathers were guilty, in as much as they expedited the crime or they cajoled the mother to murder the daughter or son. What I'm saying is because is the confiscation of all assets. We'd have about 30% of women in prison, and I wouldn't rule out doing that. I mean, I'm a merciful person. I would show them clemency that they never showed to their own children. So that if you plead guilty, maybe get a 40-year sentence, released in 20, something like that. There are other possibilities. You might say, well, it was legally dubious whether it was murder at the time because of the Abortion Act and so on. We could say a confiscation of all assets, all your money in the bank, any property you own, your car, your jewellery, everything. Start from scratch, you can start earning again, but that's it. And use that money to save children, for better healthcare, to remove these socio-economic arguments for the murder of girls and boys. Anyway, so there, wow. it's just horrifying and sickening to see these people getting away with these crimes every single day. And most people are just blasé. I know that there's a Catholic church around the corner. Not that I believe in any religion, but that's the one Christian denomination which has been most vociferous in saying we have to defend children. Right, anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com, and do what you can to save girls and boys.